So we're starting at the top of Zayin Amud Aleph over here by the Mishnah. After you have Kinui and Stira, what does he do? Ketero Sela, Malikha the Beit Din, Shabbat Makom, he takes her to the local Beit Din. Most stream low, so then once they go to the local Beit Din and they determine that she now is required to drink the Mikhtel Tzad, they're going to send him up to Yerushalayim to the Beit Din HaGadol. So to send him up to the Beit Din HaGadol, they're most stream low, Shnei Tomei Chachamim. They have two Tomei Chachamim accompany him, which we're going to see in the Gemara why they have two Tomei Chachamim to accompany him. Shema Yavala Abaderach. Why do we send two Tomei Chachamim? Because maybe he will have Tashmish with her along the way. Once he has Tashmish with her, then that will prevent him from giving her to drink the Meisulta, because we say that the Nika Ish Me'avon, that the husband must be totally clear of iniquity in order for his wife to drink the Meisulta. And in this instance, that will not be the case. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bala Neman Aleh, we don't have to send any aid, we don't have to send any Tomei Chachamim along with him, because the husband is trusted to be with his wife. Now the Gemara says, Trei v'ihu. So the way the Mishnah reads is that they will send two witnesses with him plus himself. Ha, Tzlato. So it means that they require three people. Why do we need these Talmid Chacham at all? Are they witnesses? Are they to prevent the Yichud? What are they for? So the Gemara's assumption at this point in time is that the reason that the individuals with Talmid Chacham are sent are to prevent Yichud. And therefore the Gemara is going to say, Lemeseh l'Rav. This should help the position of Rav that we found in Gemara Kedushin. When it comes to Yichud, Talmid Amar Rav, Lo Shana El Be'ir. When is it that two men and one woman is not considered yichud? That's only when you found in the city. Alal b'derech, when you're on the road, meaning when you're out of the city, adika shlosha, you need three men and a woman in order to not be yichud. Shema yitzarech echad mehem l'nikavo, because one of them might need the facilities. If you have only two individuals that are with the woman, v'nitzah echad mehem mitachedim me'erva, the one who's left behind, who's not going to the facilities, then we'll have yichud with the erva. So you send three people along in order to prevent this from happening. So if any one person needs the facilities, then there will always be two people remaining with the Erva, and you won't have any Yichud. So from this, maybe from our Mishnah, the reason Tamei Chachamim are being sent is so that there's no Yichud over here. And you see that we require two Tamei Chachamim plus the Baal, which makes three individuals over there. So one says, lo, that's not the reason why we send the Tamei Chachamim. No, the reason we're sending Tamei Chachamim is not to prevent Yichud, but rather we need witnesses. What do we need witnesses for? Well, a witness is whether the husband has Tashmish with his wife, because if he has Tashmish with his wife, we have to know that the Beit Din HaGadol needs to know this in order to not give her to drink of the Meisota. Now the Gemara says, Talmid Chachamim in, Kuli Alma lo. So it sounds like you can only send Talmid Chachamim and not anyone else. So fine, you need witnesses, but why do you need witnesses that are Talmid Chachamim? Let me misayel leads up the Rav. Maybe this supports the other position of Rav with regards to Yichud. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Lo shana el shgein kisheirim. That the only time we said there's no Yichud when you have two with one woman, two men with one woman, is when you have people that are considered kisheirim. Av putzim. If you have perutzim, then apilu asara namilo. If they're not proper people, if not kisheirim, then even 10 men with one woman is not considered to prevent Yichud. That is Yichud. And why do we know that? We know that from the Gemara Kedushin that says, Maisa hayav otziyo asara b'mita. Right, there's a case in Kiddushin where there were 10 people who carried out a woman. It was a whole fake funeral in order to take the woman out of the city and to have spend time with her. So you see, even with multiple men, you can still have a problem of yichud or problems of erva. So we see that it only applies when we say there's no yichud. Only this is when it's ksherim. So our mission will support that. Why do you have to send the Talmidei Chachamim? Fine, we need witnesses. But why specifically Talmidei Chachamim? In order to prevent yichud, because it's only true by ksherim and not by putzim. Gemara says, no, that's not the reason over here. Why? Hachain, the time is the other true Ebe. The reason we're sending Talmid Chachamim, again, the reason we're sending the witnesses has nothing to do with the Yichud. We're sending witnesses to testify about his having Tashmish with his wife. We're sending Talmid Chachamim and not just any individual. Not again because of the issue of Yichud, which we only need Ksherim and not Prutzim, but rather because of the other true Ebe. We need people who know how to give Hasra'ah to the individual, so the man. So what exactly Hasra, what are they giving? What are they warning the man about? So the Tosu seems to indicate that Gabi Hasra bin Talmid Chachamim, this is Hasra in order to give to punish this individual, this man who violates the woman who has tashmish with his wife, who he's not allowed to have tashmish until she drinks the Meisota. So you need to have Hasra, proper Hasra, so that they can give him Malkus. On the other hand, Rashi says no. A Tzruye Bey is not about the punishment for him, but rather, Rashi says, the other Tzruye Bey, the Lomar Lo Min HaTorah, to tell him from a Torah, Shein et Ish Menukem Avon, but the man is not clean of any iniquity, Shebala Mishnesra Alav, Ena Mayim Botkim Et Ishto, that that he's going to run himself into a bad position now, because if they don't warn him, there will be a number of issues that are coming up. First of all, if he does that, then they can't have her drink the mesotah. They can't have her drink the mesotah. She will remain a surah to him for the rest of his life. So if he has tashim with her now, that is going to cause him a problem, and she'll be a surah la bisur olam. Number one, we can't now have her drink, and if he can't have her drink, number two is that she will be a surah to him, isur olam. And that's what the Talmid Chacham are there, to warn him not to do this, or not to act in this manner, because that will prevent his wife from drinking the mesotah. That's machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos, exactly what the hasurah that we are looking for over here. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bala Neman allows. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you don't need Eidim, the Bala Neman. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bala Neman, Mika v'chomer. Husband should be trusted to be with her from a Kamachomer. Umad in Nida Shehi Bekareit. Now we have Nida, which is an Isur Kareit. Bala Nemanala. Her husband is believed. I mean, we allow a husband to be secluded with his wife, despite the fact that she's Ina, and that's a Chiyuv Kareit. Sota Shehi Belav. Sota, if the husband has relationship with the wife, right, that is only an Isur Lav, Lokoshkin. Certainly we should trust him in the case where it's a Lav. If we trust him when it's Kareit, then certainly we trust him by Lav. Rabbanan, he don't tend it. That's exactly why we don't trust him. Neither the kares chamir lei umehemin. Neither when it's a gadah chiyuv kares, then the person will stand back or hold himself back from violating any isur that involves kares because it's chamor. Right? And therefore, he is believed or he's neman to be with his wife alone. Sota, the love of lo chamir lei. Sota, which is simply just a laugh, people don't worry that love him so much, so they will be willing to violate just a plain love. And therefore we cannot trust him in that case. So that's how the Chachamim answer up. Yeah, Rabbi Yehuda says that there's a Kamachomer mi Nida. If we trust him by Nida, certainly we should trust him by Sota. And the Chachamim say the exact reason that you say the Kamachomer is why we trust him by Nida, which is because it's Kareis, it's a Chamor punishment, and we don't trust him by Sota because it's a light punishment. So your Kamachomer is not going to work over here. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda mi Kamachomer mighty love. Rabbi Yehuda really learned it out from a Kamachomer. Rabbi Yehuda mi cry mighty love. Then he learned it out from Sukim, Titania, we have a brisa v'ivishet ishto ala kohen, right? So a man must bring his wife up to the kohen to give her to drink the mesotah. Mina Torah, ish meviat ishto, mina Torah. You would only have to have the husband bring up the wife, meaning that you don't need any accompaniment. Aval amru chachamim osinu shnei tamei chachamim shemi avala baderach. But mina mitarab bonon, we say, give him two tamei chachamim in order to protect him along the way, or to stop him, prevent him, to warn him, whatever we saw above in the Gemara above, give him two tamei chachamim to accompany him. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Bala Neman Aleha Mikal V'Chomer. Yossi says that the Baal is Neman from a Kal V'Chomer. Oman Nido Shaya B'Kareit. Neither is the Kareit Bala Neman Aleha Sota Shiva Lav Lo Ko Shukain. Amalo Lo Imamarta B'Nida Shukain Yishba Heter Tamar B'Sota Shain La Heter. Now there's a difference between, not like the Kal V'Chomer we saw above, right, that it was the difference between Nida and Sota was the Chamirut of the punishment, but rather here there's a difference between Nida and Sota, which is that a Nida in the end will be Muteret to him, meaning that there is a point in time that she is a Surah, but after a certain period of time then she will be Muteret again to him. So in that case we trust the Baal, but by a Sota there's a distinct possibility that she might be a Surah to him, Isur Olam, meaning if she refuses to drink, or if she makes an admission, or if she drinks and obviously is died there, then she'll be a surah to Misur Olam. Then there's not going to be a ability for him to return to his wife. So in that case, we're going to say, Tamar B'Sota Shem Lahed there. So that's how the Chachamim answer of the Kal V'Chomer. You said Nida, which is Kareis, is Neman. Sota, which is a Lav, certainly should be Neman. And the Chachamim say back to him, no, Nida is a different type of case. Even though the punishment is more Chomer, the issue really is that there's a Heter Acharea. Right, whereas the Sota, which has no Heter Achareya, we say no. Ba'omer, and we have the famous line from the Mishlei, Mayim Ginuvim Mitalku, stolen waters are sweet. So over here, it's not stolen waters, but in a sense, the Tosfos points out over here, near the Haiva Omer, Perisho Halki, that how do we say, what it means, the Omer, it says it, over here, it's Homer. Mayim Tali V'Halki, Shein Heter Isra, when we say there's no Heter from the Isra that she's in here, Chad is the Isra Tokfo. Right, so then a Yetzer is going to grab him and say, wow, if there's no Heter, I really want to be with this woman. And you're going to say, what? Oh, if you want to say that he already had relations with her, and therefore the Yetzer will not chase, meaning that we say that once an individual, say we had that by Chupat Nida, once if the man has never had relations with his wife, then we say we don't trust him and he can't have Yichud with his wife. Right? Once he's had relations once with his wife, then we trust him. So it's over here by Sota, the man already had relations with the woman. So we're going to say, at this point, okay, so he should be trusted with her. We're not going to worry about his Yitzra Tokfu. So that's what we say, Mayim Gnuvim Mimtoku. Since he has a sense that he won't get her back, even though he's already had relations with her, that sense of not getting her back is going to have his Yitzra grab him, and he's going to want that which is asura. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer min haTorah ish mevi et ishto el haKohen shenemar v'ish et ishto. Right. So now you see over here that Rabbi Yehuda says that the limud is from a pasuk and not from a kal v'chomer. So the Gemara says no problem. I'm going to kal v'chomer bereisho farchua. First they said a kal v'chomer and then they undermined that kal v'chomer. V'hadar mar l'hukra. And then Rabbi Yehuda brought down the pasuk. Since he brought down the pasuk, after there was already the kal v'chomer didn't work, the limud from logic did not work. Then he said to them, well, it's a gzeras hakatuv. Now if it's a gzeras hakatuv, right, Rabbi Yehuda, hainu tani kama. Rabbi Yehuda is the same as the Tana Kamel, because now you have Rabbi Yehuda saying it's a gzeras hakatuv, and the Tana Kamel also said it was a gzeras hakatuv. The Gemara says, the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tana Kamel is that the Tana Kamel says, despite the fact that it's a gzeras hakatuv, that you do not need anyone to accompany her, meaning that the Torah says that you may go up alone, the Baal is Naaman to go up alone with his wife. Nevertheless, we say, Aval Amru Chachamim, that the Chachamim decided to send along two Tamei Chachamim to accompany him. So still, Midr Abonon, we still have two people accompanying him. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, that ends there. That when the Torah says that he's Naaman, that's all you need. You don't have to add on anybody else. That'll be the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. So we see that what the Kal V'chomer, there were two Kal V'chomers brought down with regards from Nida to Sota. And then we had a pircha on each one of them, that the Rabbanan were undermined the Kal V'chomer. The Kal V'chomer is that what? That Nida is Chomer because it has Kares. Sota is Kal because it has Lav. So the first pircha the Chachamim gave to that Limud was what? Number one. That's exactly why she's trusted. He's trusted, because when you have a Chomer punishment, we can trust them that they're not going to violate that Chomer punishment. But when it's Kal, we don't trust them because they don't care so much about violating that Lav. Then the second pircha the Gemara brought was that there's a heter miachorea, meaning that Ibayin Nido, there's a point in time that it's a surah now, but in the future it'll be mutar. Therefore, Yisrael is not hopeful. By Sota, the possibility that she's a surah now and she'll be a surah Yisrael Lam, she'll never be mutar to him, and therefore Yisrael is hopeful. So Tosa says only the second pircha is a good pircha, undermines the Kal V'chomer, because the first pircha is not a good pircha, not a good question. Why is that? It says that Ashkechan, this is Tosa, Samar Lehu Kal V'chomer Parchua, Tosa says the Ashkechan Beduchte Sagin. We see in many places the Chamir Linish Avera Kala Umistafa Mina Tve Mi Avera Chamura. Says that we have many examples where people are more afraid of an Avera Kala versus a Avera Chamura. Even when the punishment is light or a violation is a small violation, people are more afraid of that than something that's much more serious. And he says we have that in the first parak in the Gemara in Ksuba there, that people were more Chamir Le Avelus, right, Mi Nido. So despite the fact that Nido is Bekaris and Avelus is only Midar Abonon, nevertheless, people, the Gemara there says that people were more makpid about Avelus than they were necessarily about Nido, or they were more, it was more chomer to them in their eyes to violate the Easter Avelus than it was to violate the Easter Nida. So the Tosafot says, we see many places that the Chachamim say is not true, and therefore the first Piyachah is not a good undermining of the Kal V'chomer. It's only the second time in the Braitza where the Kal V'chomer is undermined because of the Hetar Chareah, then the Kal V'chomer no longer works. If the Kal V'chomer no longer works, then Rabbi Yehuda comes and says, it doesn't matter, I still have a pasuk min haTorah that tells me that min haTorah you don't need any accompaniment because the Baal is Neman Aleha. Right now we'll start the next Mishnah. So when they said the two Tachachamim, they take them up to the Beis Din HaGadol, Shebi Yerushalayim. So we'll discuss that, why it has to be in the Beis Din HaGadol, and Bi Yerushalayim we also will discuss in a minute. We try to impose certain amount of fear into her, like we do into witnesses that come to testify about capital punishment or capital crimes, because we want her to be aware that there's something serious here. It's so serious that we're going to be mochek the shem Hashem, and therefore, if she really is guilty, we want to put pressure on her to admit and not to go through with this process, because we don't want to be mochek the shem. V'omer la biti harbe yayin osa, harbe shchokosa, harbe yaldut osa, harbe shchenim harim osim. In all these cases, there are reasons why people do or make mistakes. Maybe you drink too much wine, and sometimes when you drink too much wine, it causes a person to act inappropriately. Or maybe too much light-heartedness, or too much skok, too much not being serious and joking around, and those types of things. Playfulness, that caused the violation here. Harbe yaldutosar, or maybe young. When people are young, they make mistakes, they make bad calls, bad judgments. Maybe that's here. Or Harbe Shkenim Rahim, maybe you have bad neighbors who encourage you to act in such a manner. So there are reasons that people act in this manner. So we're trying to give her a petach, an opening for her to say, you know, you're right, that it was one of these items that caused me to violate it. So we try to give her a ability, something to hang on or hang her head on to say, yes, that's what went wrong over here. So now the Gemara says, Asi lishmo agadol, shnichtab tosh loimache alamayim. At least admit here if there really is something wrong and you really did have or act inappropriately, then please say it before we wipe out the name of Hashem. Va'omer lefaneha dvarim, right? She'ina kedai l'shomam. It's either that's the girsa, the Bachlo says the gira she'ina kedai l'shomam, but here it says our girsa is she'ina kedai l'shomam, that they are not worthy to hear. Who is not worthy? So if you say that she's not worthy to hear her and our whole family, or she'inam, even her family is not worthy to hear these items, because we say that the woman who came, her behavior is influenced by her family, so when we see that her behavior is not necessarily proper, we blame her family for the upbringing that she had, that maybe they influenced her, they condoned such behavior, that she came from them, and therefore she's not worthy to hear. What are they not worthy to hear? Right, so that the Gemara is going to discuss. Im amrat me'ani, if she admits at any point that she was violated, then shoveret ketubata, we rip up her ketubah, we'll see again in the Gemara what it means, shoveret ketubata, v'yotzeit, and then she goes out, meaning that she's no longer married. We don't have witnesses here that she's to be put to death, so therefore she is asur to her husband, and she loses her ketubah, she goes out. Im amrat tahorani, if she insists and she remains steadfast in her belief that, or in her statement that she is tahora, malinu atal shar mizrach, then they take her out to the eastern gate. And so here the Girsan argument is Shal Petach Shar Niknor, which is not true, because Shar Niknor was the entrance to the Azara. Shar Mizrach was the eastern gate into the Harabayit, or into the Mikdash itself. Whereas the Petach Shar Niknor is the eastern gate into the Azara Yisrael. So you have to either change the Girsa to read Malel Tal Shar Mizrach, right? The Shar Niknor, and also to Shar Niknor, and not Sha'al Petach Shar Niknor. It doesn't connect the two. They're two separate things. We bring up the Shar Mizrach, we bring up the Shar Niknor, which is, later on discussed in the Gemara, why we bring her into multiple places. Shisham, why do they bring her to Shar Niknor? Shisham Mashkinet Sotot, Mutarinet Yolodot, Mutarinet Mitzoraim. Because in that place, we feed, that's where we give the Sotot to drink, and that's the place where we Mitarin the Yolodot, Mutarin Et Mitzoraim. Because that's the place where the Yoledes and the Mitzorah and the Zav and the Zavin, we'll see later in the Gemara, come up to get their Tahara. What is unique about the Shar Niknor? Shar Niknor is right on the Azara, the entrance to the Azara. So a number of requirements when you have when someone brings up a Karban to the Mikdash, there are a number of requirements. One is that they need to be close to their Karban. They have to be around where their Karban is brought. So first of all, we need them, if the Karban is going to be brought in the Azara, we need them close to the Azara. We have a problem here because most of these people are Mechuser a Kapara, that they are now gone through their full process of Tahara, but they're not allowed to eat Kodesh yet, and they're not allowed to enter the Mikdash because they still have to bring their Karbanot on their 8th day or on their 41st day or 81st day for the Oledet and for Mitzorah and for Azav and Azavad, Zolah. They all have to bring Karbanot in order to allow them to enter the Mikdash. So they can't enter the Mikdash, but they need to be near their Karbanot. So what do? We bring them into the Shar Niknor, and the Shar Niknor was specifically not these Kadesh. The door frame of the Shar Niknor was in Mitzkadesh, so therefore they could get as close as possible to the Azara, and then they could stick in their hands and their feet in order to get the process of Tahara for Mitzorah and for Mitzorah and for Zav and Zavah, that they can have that process done right at the entrance to the Shar Niknor. Therefore, we don't allow them to enter the Azara, but we get them as close as possible to the Azara, and then we allow them to put parts of their limbs in order to complete the process by which they will become a Tahor. The question is, why by Sota is that the case? A Sota is not restricted from entering in the Azara. So why are we mashke the Sota in the Shar Niknor? Let her go into the Azara. Let her be near a Karban. Let her go into the Azara and complete the process of the Sota. And fear the May Sota there. So what you have to answer is that even though there's no restriction because of Tuma for her to enter into the Mikdash into the Azara, the problem is that if she drinks the water and she is guilty and the waters work, that she will be Nivala. She will be made into a... Right, she will explode, she will die, amidst the nivellas, and that's not appropriate to do in the Azara. So therefore, they mashkin the sotos in the same location, the Shar Niknor, which is right in front of the Azara. Why right in the front of the Azara? We're going to see that in the Gemara again, that it has to be the Fnei Hashem. The sota must be brought before Hashem, and before Hashem is what's the closest place on the eastern side that faces the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or the entrance to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's Shar Niknor. It's the closest place where a person can reach without having to enter the Azara, and be mul Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that's considered the Fnei Hashem. Right, we'll see all this in the Gemara. I just wanted to clarify while we're in the Mishnah. But coin, after that, coin of Hez Bivladea, Im Nikru'u, Nikru'u, Bim Nifru'u, Nifru'u, Nifru'u. And then the coin grabs her by her clothes and pulls her over, not necessarily intending to rip them, but if they do rip, it's fine. If they do, nifrimu is not only ripping, but they are in tatters, become in tatters, ashram gladly ba, even though it exposes her, the upper part of her body, which normally is closed, which is normally covered up. So despite the fact that she will be exposed here, we still let the Kohen deals with her roughly. Why does the Kohen deal with her roughly? Again, that this should be a, we'll see at the end of the Mishnah, this should be both a lesson to the woman herself, not to act in an inappropriate manner. Remember, this woman is here not because she's totally innocent, but because she was warned by her husband and then was secluded with a man. And also said other women should know, other married women should see this and realize that this is a process that they do not want to undergo, and they should not put themselves in such compromising positions. So they grab it, so teret sara, and then he undoes her hair. They uncover her hair, and they unbraid her hair, as we'll see in the Gemara. That if she is beautiful and then opening up her or ripping her clothing will make her more attractive, then we do not allow the coin, we don't allow their beggars to be ripped. Same thing with the hair. She's beautiful hair, because both they will cause the people that are present or watching the Kohanim and the others there that will be, they'll hear hurim, they'll be inappropriate thoughts. And number two, we don't want the woman to gain confidence by the fact that she's beautiful and others being attracted to her. We don't want her to gain confidence to stand in her position. Now, if she's wearing white, she changes into black. And if white is good, makes her look good, then we change her into black. Right, so now, obviously, this took place prior to what happened to the coin. The Mishnah is out of order, meaning that if he's already ripping her clothing, we're not asking her to change now. She changed beforehand. The Mishnah is just going through the process of taking things away from her that make her look beautiful. So over here we say if she's wearing white, she changes into black. The other plays zahav, they cut the oath. If she had some sort of jewelry on her, golden jewelry or cut the oath or chokers, necklaces, nizamim or earrings, the tabaot or rings, we remove them from her in order that she should be disgusting and that she should not have any beauty, should not be attractive at all, because we want other women to take the lesson from her, right? The lekach from this, that they should not act in such a manner. Number two is, again, we want to remove her confidence. They bring a rope, a chevel mitzri, which we'll see later on in the Gemara, but from Mitzrayim, chevel mitzri, which references, right, the Mitzrayim, who were stupe zima, which we say that the Parsha and Achrei Mot HaKadoshim says, don't act like the Kananim and the Mitzrayim, because they were stupe zima. So they tie around a chevel mitzri to hint to that idea. The Gemara will also talk about the issue of midah keneged midah, and they tie her clothing above her breast so that the beggar that she has should not fall below her erva and expose her erva. Anybody wants to come see her can come see her, except for her servants and her maid servants, because if she sees them, since she really is their adon, she's their master, she would be unwilling to take the embarrassment of admitting to being at fault or at guilt here when she's faced with looking at her avadim and shvachot. So we say that they cannot be there. As opposed to other women, other people, there she'll admit because she doesn't know them. But when it's her b'nei beito, Rashi calls it, she'adam roe b'nei beito, from his family, datom itkaberet alav, he feels strong, v'lo tira, v'lo tivadesh, don't feel fear anymore, they feel more comfortable or they feel steadfast in the way. And here we want her to admit, so we're not going to put her in a position where she doesn't have to admit. The Rambam, actually, the Halacha brings down that when she brings her into Beis Din and they speak to her, the husband leaves. Right, so why is it that the husband leaves? Now, either because the husband's the accuser and we tell him to leave so we can speak to her and have her admit, or maybe because of the same reason Rashi says, when it says about Shlibo Gaspa, it doesn't just say Abadah Shvachah, but it says B'nei Beito. Anybody from her household, she might be an Akshanit, she might remain steadfast in her position, not be willing to admit in front of anyone from her household, or, so Rashi says, possibly they give her more strength, because she feels comfortable among them and she's not going to give in that point. So all the women are mutara to come and see her. Right? Then we just say before Barchola wrote, they wrote Bali wrote, that anybody who wants to come can come and see her. And now we're saying only the women can come and see her. So the Gemara deals with that stira. Shnemar binasru kol anashim v'lo ta'asena, that all the women will take heed from this. It's talking about in Yechezkel, the pasuk about seeing what's going to happen, and therefore all the women will take heed from what happens to those who are evil. And they will take heed not to, what? Not to, ta'asena kezimat chena, that they will not act in the way of the zima, of the way of the adulteress or the people who get involved and illicit their relationships. So this, the whole idea of other women coming to see, and the Gemara actually says it's a chuvah, it's an obligation for them to come to see this, and so in order that we publicize that such behavior is not tolerated, and women will take a lesson from this, not to act in such a manner, not to put themselves in such a compromising position. Where do we know that she has to go up to the Beis Din HaGadol? Amar b'chir ba'agam, damar b'yosi b'r'b'china, atcha Torah, Torah. Yabat b'zeir shavah, Torah, Torah. Tiv ha'fa. It says by the sota vasala kohen et kol haTorah, right? So it says that he has to do all this process here, Torah, meaning the process of Tivhatam. Al pi haTorah sheirucha. So there in the Devarim it's talking about a zaken mamre. So there the punishment for, where does the zaken mamre, in order for him to be punished for disagreeing with the Beis Din, it has to be his disagreement with the Beis Din HaGadol. He has to paskin against the Beis Din HaGadol and hold steadfast to position, even if the Beis Din HaGadol tells him he's wrong. Just like by a Zaken Mamre, it has to be by Beis Din HaGadol by 71, so too, Afkan Meshivim Echad has to be with the 71, as opposed to what? There were other Beis Dins in Yerushalayim, or even on Har HaBayis. That's Rashi points out over here. There were two other Beis Dins of 23, that were not necessarily the Beis Din HaGadol, but they were found in Yerushalayim and they were found in the Beis HaMikdash, but those will not suffice. She needs a Beis Din Shel Shivim Ve'echad. Tosfos over here has a number of questions on this. But number one is, why, if they do require 71, why isn't the Mishnah and Sanhedrin mention this among the items that need require 71? They don't mention, right, so that they don't mention Sota and Zaken Mamre over there. Those two are not mentioned, despite the fact that they both require 71. Number two, Sosa also says, by Zaken Mamre, it's clear that Hamoklum Goreim, that it's the location that's Goreim, right, and not that it's based in Hagadol, that they need to be in the place, they need to be on the Mikdash. And how come by Sota, Sosa goes through a historical question over here, but why? How is it that they were still Dan Sota, right, even though they had left the Makom HaMikdash, and they were still based in Hagadol? So the Gemara says that Nira the Iyum, that Enochanim also says that it is the Makom Goreim, you would need the Mikdash, but it says that the Iyum that was done in the Beis Din HaGadol was not Makim. That's what Tosafot says as an answer, and therefore it was still Noheges even after the Beis Din HaGadol left the Makom HaMikdash, not because they could not do the Iyum anymore properly in the Makom like Zaken Mamre, but nevertheless they could still carry out the Meisota without the Iyum. Now it says, we try to cause our fear in order to have a mission. But in a minute, we have a question on that, because we have a bright statistic. Right, just like we try to pressure her, put fear into her, scare her into it, making it a mission not to drink, we also place pressure on her to drink it. Omrim la biti, and barula hadavar shetohorat, if you believe and you're full fast instead in your post and steadfast in your ways that you believe you're tahor, right, at the aboriech. Stand on your position, stay in your beliefs, v'shati, and drink this. Because they're only like some innocuous potion. Some innocuous potion that's put on healthy skin. Right? If there's a makah, then the water will go in and cause problems. If there's no makah there, then it will not affect it at all. The Gemara says, Lokasha, kan kodesh nimcha ka megillah, kan achash nimcha ka megillah. So it depends. Before we erase the Shem Hashem, we try to pressure her in order not to drink the Mei Sota, so we won't have to wipe out the Shem Hashem. Once we've wiped out the Shem Hashem, then we encourage her to drink, because once we've wiped out the Shem Hashem, there's no reason to prevent her. So therefore, we give her koach not to fall apart and not drink it, and have this be a waste. We say, go ahead and drink it. If you believe you're innocent, go ahead and drink it. Vomerla, for now, we said before, things that she is not worthy of hearing. What are those things that she's not worthy of hearing? Tarim Rabbanan. We say for the very Agada from the Gadot to Chazal, Matim Shiru B'Ktuvim Arishonim, and actual cases that happened in the Ktuvim Arishonim, but really in the Torah. Could go Asher Chachamim Yagidu V'Lo Kachadu Me'Avutam. Right, that the Chachamim were not afraid. Right, they spoke up and they were not fearful of their fathers. Meaning that they, when they had to admit that they were wrong, they were willing to admit their wrongdoings, or admit their mistakes, despite the fact that their fathers were present, that they were among their peers. Yehuda, Hodev Elobosh. Right, Yehuda was willing to admit that he was wrong when it came to Tamar, and he was not embarrassed. Mahaya Sofo, what was his end? Nachal Chaye Olam Haba. He inherited Olam Haba. Ruvain, Hodev Elobosh. Ruvain also admitted that he had done something wrong when he was Mabal Bel Yitzue Aviv. Rav Elobosh was embarrassed. Maya Sofo Nachal Chaylam Haba. Again, he also was Nachal Haba. So the admission is, there's a value to making such an admission. Umascharan, and what's the reward? What do you mean, Mascharan? Kedamrinan. We already said what the reward was. They went to Olam Haba. Elamascharan Balam Azeh. What's the reward in this world? So it says, Lahem Levadam Natna Haris. To them alone was the Eretz Yisrael was given. Lo Avar Zar B'Tocham, and no Zar goes through there. The Rashi, what does it mean? That Lahem Levadam Nasaharet. Yehuda, the Rashi says, Yehuda Zachal Machus. Right? Yehuda got the Machus. And Reuven Natal Chelek Tchilah Be'eretz Me'ivar Yarden. He was the first one to get the Yerusha in Eivar Yarden. So they were both. Yehuda was the Malchus, and Reuven was the first one to Yerusha Aretz. And what does it mean? Lo Varzar B'Tocham. Right? When is it that no foreigner walks through their land? Arish Rabbi Tanchuma. Rashi here quotes the Tanchuma. Imatay Lo Varzar B'Tocham K'Shiva Moshe LeBarchan. When was there no other person between them? That is what? In the time of when Moshe came to give them the bracha. Because there was no separation between the two Shvatim. Meaning that Reuven and Yehuda are given two brachot in a row by Moshe Rabbeinu. There's no other Shevet that steps in between them. And therefore, because it says, Yechi Reuven Ve'almot, and then Bezot Yehuda, that they come, they're juxtaposed, the two brachot. The Tosus, on the other hand, says, what does Lavar Zar B'chotam? Perish Ribi Shem Ramanei Shmuel, Dainu B'chalukat Yechezkel. Right? Sheyuda, Reuven Ve'yuda Shechinim. So this is talking about the Chalukat Yechezkel, the division of the land according to Yechezkel, and the division according to Yechezkel, Reuven and Yehuda are actually Shvatim, are neighbors in that Chalukah, and that's what it's referring to, that there's nobody separating between Reuven and Yehuda in Yerushat Haaretz Latid Lavo. So either way, so now let's continue with the drasha, these drashot that we have over here. Avishlam of Yehuda Ashkechan Dodit. So where it says it's very clear, by Yehuda we know that he admitted, because it did, by Yaker Yehuda, by Yomer Sat Kami Meni. When Tamar sends him the items that she had taken from him as an Eravom, he sees them, he recognizes them, and he says, Sat Kami Meni, she was right, she's more righteous than I, and he has an admission. Now, Reuven Min Olam Dozi, where do we ever see that Reuven had an admission? Why in the bracha does it say Yechi Reuven, Reuven will live al Yemot? Vizot Yehuda. What's the vav chibur there? Why are they juxtaposed? And why is there a vav chibur between Yehuda to Reuven? Because kolotan shanim sheyusam ben midbar yutzmatav sheyuda magul galim ba'aron. Right, that all the time that Bnei Yisrael were in the midbar, the bones of Yehuda were roaming around in his aron. Because we know that not only did they take out the aron of Yosef, Moshe took out the aron of Yosef, we also know from the Medrash that all the shvatim we were taken out of Mitzrayim. So it says, because it says, Rashi points out, "Who shamar Yosef? Elitim etat mazai mizet itchem imas motechem." Is with you. With you means with all the other shvatim. So all the shvatim were coming out, and Yehuda's his skeleton was shaking in the aron. Why was the skeleton shaking in the aron? Because he accepted on himself the nidui when he went and took as an eravon, as a binyamin. When he took binyamin down to Mitzrayim, he says that he was willing to give up his olam haba, or that he gave his word to Yaakov that he would return him to him. So even though in the end he does, or some way returns him to him, nevertheless, because he made such a promise, Yehuda is then left shaking in his aron, because he's unable to get into Olam Haba because of this nidui that he accepted upon himself. Because Rashi says over here, nidui shel chacham afilu al tanai huba. Although the gears on the side of Sosh Shas has a different gears, which says nidui al tanai tzarech hafara. That a nidui, even on a condition, still requires hafara, so it has to be removed somehow. So here Moshe is removing it. How does he do this? He says, Amar lefanav ribono shel olam, migaram l'Reuven shehuda. Right? Who's the one that caused Reuven to admit to his sin? Yehuda. So therefore it says, Vizot Yehuda. That's why it says, Yechi Reuven v'al yamot, Vizot Yehuda. Why was Reuven able to get to olam haba? Because he admitted. Why? Who caused him to admit? Vizot Yehuda. That is on the basis of Yehuda. Yehuda is the one who gave him that. Yad, afterwards, it says, Shema Hashem kol Yehuda. Right, that Hashem heard the Kol Yehuda, meaning that Yehuda was then allowed into going into the Olam Haba, meaning that his bones stopped shaking in the Aron, and he was allowed to enter into Olam Haba. Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda al Evarach Lishva. Right, so then his body or his they stopped moving around, meaning they stopped shaking in their place. But that was only that. But then Lo Avimalin led him to the Rekia, but they still wouldn't let him in the base Medrash in Shemayim. So then it says, Vilamo Tiviano, allow him to go in with the rest of the people. So right? So had the Rabbonim. So even though they led him to Beis Medrash, he didn't know how to do the Matamoto, and he didn't know how to learn what the Talmidei Chachamim were there. So then the Gemara says, Yadav Ravlo. Right? That Yadav Ravlo means what? Heilo Nitzchon Neriv Ribo. Rashi says that he should be strong enough that he will be victorious. Right? So, Aktiv Lashon Milchoma. What is Yadav, which sounds like battle? Milchama Shel Torah, that's Milchamta Shel Torah. The Yadav Ravlo will give him the victory of the Torah. So he was able to discuss the Inyanim with the Chachamim and also be Midnatseach in Halakha. So he understood what was going on and he was able to learn. Right? So V'lo Ava Kasalka Le Shmaita Liba De Hilchasa. Right? But even though he was able to be Midnatseach then, it's still with Halakha was not coming out like to him. That's the last end of the puzzle. V'ezim Yitzarav Tiyeh. right, that the Ezer meets the Rav, Tiyah, that his ways or his successes, meets the Rav, Tiyah, that he will be above those that are against him, and therefore he will be Kovei Alach Alali B'Zayokta. Bishlam Ayuda Dodi Gehechet Lo Tisarev Tamak. Alright, it makes sense that Yehuda admitted because he didn't want Tamar to be killed. So there was a reason for him to make a public admission. Why should Ruvain make any public admission? Right, that it's inappropriate for someone who has a Aveira ben Adam Lamakum to admit it to anybody because that's a Mechutzah. That's somebody who doesn't worry about admitting it. Meaning that when you have an Aveira that's min Adam L'Chaveiro, when you're dealing with another person, then it's important to admit it in public and to then ask mechila from that person and to rectify the issue in public because the issue is a public issue, usually ben adam lechaveiro. But whereas when it comes to ben adam lemakom, that's just something between you and Hashem. It's between you and Hashem, then you should do your mefarat, your chataim to Hashem, but not to anyone else. Admitting them to anyone else is almost this kind of gaiva that you don't care, or they're not embarrassed by that. So why did Reuven here have to admit anything, right? There was nobody else that was going to get punished if he didn't admit it. And the Gemara says, no, he had to admit it over here in order that his brothers would not be under suspicion, meaning that their father did not know who had switched around the bed. So not only does Reuven's admission taking care of himself, that he admitted that he was Chotev, but it also protects his brothers, meaning it allows the brothers to be let free from their father's suspicion. And therefore it was important for Reuven to be Mosen in public for the reason of taking away the possibility of guilt to his brothers. So we see from this, these are items that they spoke to the woman about, which we see that even great people who made mistakes, they were willing to admit. So too over here, you should also admit or make an admission to your guilt. All right, we'll continue from here tomorrow.